is Booker T, five-time WCW champ, and you're listening to WTR. Now can you dig that, sucker?
This is Chrissy Annie, DNA Knockout.
This is Lacey Von Erich.
I'm Al Snow.
This is Harry Smith.
This is Stampede Kid T.J. Wilson.
I invite us to good old J.R. Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back into the squared circle to present to you Wrestle Talk Radio.
Are you ready?
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school in the WWE, TNA, and indie scene.
It's still real to me, damn it!
With your host, Tim Stein.
Hail to the king, baby.
You will bow to me, Spud.
Let's face it. Most of you don't like me.
Will, I am awesome.
I do what I want, when I want.
Mace.
Everybody knows I'm perfect in every way.
And the Omega.
I'm half man, half amazing. I am better than you.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We just finished up with TNA Final Resolution, and finally a decent pay-per-view, I think, and we will be discussing it here in a bit. I am, of course, the Omega, playing Rudolph tonight, leading you into another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio. And, of course, joining me, we have Santa's favorite helper, Will, who's not answering me. My favorite toy provider, Mace.
Hello.
At the top of the naughty list this year, Spug.
Hey. Santa told me I was good.
And, of course, the old man who sits around and does absolutely nothing except for one day of the year, Tim Stein.
He is like Santa Claus.
Good evening, everybody. I'm not Santa Claus.
Trust me, I'm more like the Grinch. And if you caught the Rocky Christmas special last night, you'd understand what I was talking about. Anyway, who won? I logged off. I didn't care. I was done with Cindy. Oh, okay, so you want to know who won the prizes? I do. I was done listening to her whine. So, Tony won a stocking. Was he the only one? For singing.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Some young guy named Owen won another stocking for his Christmas tree photo. Funny, the network of the owner of the network's kid. Funny, the owner of the network's kid won a prize. Yeah, well, that wasn't planned out. I had nothing to do with it. In fact, I was kind of sort of adamant behind the scenes telling him, no, give it to somebody else. But, I didn't send in a picture of my Christmas tree because I couldn't find a digital camera, so
there.
Yeah, so I kept saying no, but I got outvoted on that one, so it wasn't anything I had anything to do with. So, but that being said, before we get underway, I just want to say, Spug, once again, that interview that you did with Al Snow a couple of weeks ago.
Uh huh.
That was a really good interview, and if you guys haven't caught it yet, check out the archives. It's Burning River Radio 2 weeks ago. And Spug actually interviewed Al Snow and Scott Hudson on the air. That's right. And if I recall correctly, you got schooled yet once again by Al Snow concerning wrestling.
I said this last week, dude. You're behind the times.
And then last week I called into your show and we did some NFL picks.
Yeah, your point.
Well, my point is, it looks like you got schooled for the second straight week in a row. Do you realize
hey,
your pick 4-10 on mine are 11-3?
Hey, Tim.
let's put it this way. January 4th is still a couple of weeks off, buddy. You got to make sure you hold out that for the rest of the season, you dipshit.
Well, anybody can be good for 1 week. Look at the Browns.
It wasn't all just, you know, bonehead first-time luck. Just warning you now, man.
I don't see your multi-millions in Vegas. Shut your fucking mouth.
Speaking about Vegas, do you know how to win at roulette, Spud?
I don't gamble, so I really don't give a fuck.
Okay. Well, one or two people who listen to the show, who listen to tune into Wild Talk Radio, they do have a penchant for gambling. And I'm going to later on in the show tell you exactly how you can win money playing roulette, which is not one of the easiest things to do. That a little bit later on. But up tonight, we've got the TNA Final Resolution pay-per-view recap. We're going to take a really quick look at absolutely everything, give you our overall thoughts. Then we're going to talk a little WWE news and what we can expect to be happening starting January and going straight through till April. Then, of course, we got the great debate, the finals. It's Mr. Perfect taking on a honk-tonk man right here in the WTR Squared Circle. And, of course, we'll get into a little bit of roundtable news. Got a couple of things that we want to talk about to toss around the table. And, of course, rapid fire. That's all coming up tonight, the last show before Christmas, 2009, on Russell Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. First off, overall thoughts of what you caught on. Let's start with somebody who was watching the whole thing. Mace.
Yay! You're going to start with me on this one. It was pretty average most of the way through. Like, the beginning, good opener. Sort of average knockouts match. The usual clusterfuck, the Feast of Fire. The 8-man elimination was quick, thank God. Last man standing, I really didn't give a shit about. The tag team match was very interesting. Abyss selling his injury more than most people would in his situation. And then the two main events were absolutely freaking phenomenal.
And there is Mix's overall thoughts. Omega, you caught pretty much all the pay-per-view. What are your overall thoughts? Just your impression.
I caught what I could, and it pretty much mirrors Mace here. For TNA to manage to hold a average pay-per-view all the way through, that alone I would consider a success. But it was a strong start and a very, very strong finish. You put Angle and Wolf together, and then you put AJ and Daniels together. I don't think there was any doubt in anyone's mind that those two matches were not going to save the pay-per-view, no matter how awful it turned out. So I thought that was a really bright point, a really smart move for TNA to do, and it really brought the pay-per-view up a few notches.
Now, Spug, I don't know how much of the pay-per-view you caught, but what are your overall thoughts, you know, just from what you saw before we get in-depth on everything?
That crowd was the type of crowd you'd find on an average show at a bingo hall in Philly.
And with you saying that, I'm going to bring up something a little bit later on after we break down the pay-per-view, because I got a couple of thoughts about that.
It's a funny thing that I saw from the Steiner match on, and I thought that McGinnis or Desmond Wolf and Kurt Angle might have been the match of the night until the ending, and we'll talk about that later.
Absolutely. And
Styles and AJ, or Styles and Daniels, was a good match. But when you can't get the crowd to pop for gimmick matches, you have a fucking problem.
And that is definitely something else we're going to be looking at and talking about. And Will, I don't know how much of the pay-per-view you caught. I'm sure that you caught at least a quarter of it.
I caught like four matches.
Okay, and what are your overall thoughts?
Let's see, Feast or Fired. I'd rather have seen Cody Deaner get fired, but oh well. How come every Feast or Fired winner, the one who gets fired, has also been a champion in TNA?
Hmm.
Because it's always been Daniels.
Well,
I swear that there's going to be some like continuity collapse in this one because Daniels wasn't there to be fired this year.
Oh, sorry.
Well, we'll definitely get into it.
The one who got the fired case will wrestle Daniels, and Daniels will end up being fired again.
Right.
That'll be almost like deja vu all over again. So yeah, we're gonna be taking a look at all of this on a one by one basis with everybody who caught all of the matches, and those of you who didn't catch certain matches, don't worry about talking about it. That's all, I guess. So basically, at the very top of the night, the pay-per-view opened on a pretty hot note, I think, with the TNA Tag Team Championship, the British Invasion, against the Motor City Machine Guns, with the British Invasion coming out on top. Mace, thoughts about this match?
Like I said, it was a pretty solid opener for this pay-per-view. Teams working very well together. Sure, there was usually a bit of spot-festing going on, but it was just the thing that was needed to sort of try and get that crowd started, especially when you're going off deadpan with no dark match or pre-show matches going on.
And Omega, what did you think about the match?
The one thing TNA does do right consistently is their tag team division. So the Motor City Machine Guns do a great job getting the crowd warmed up. It was a great first contest, just not too hot. You know, not too average. It was right where it needed to be. I thought it was a pretty decent match from the two teams.
Spug and Will, I don't believe you guys caught the curtain jerker tonight, but let's at least get your thoughts if you follow TNA at all with British Invasion having defeated the Motor City Machine Gun, starting off with Will.
I would have liked to have seen this match. I love watching the Guns wrestle because they're so fluid as a tag team. And really, there was nothing. The Brits were the only ones who were going to go over since they have so much story around the tag team titles right now. So, yeah, I guess it's good.
Okay. Yeah, Spug, any thoughts or opinions?
Apparently not.
No.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. I have to pretty much echo what Will said about British Invasion, with the, they got all that story going around with the belts and stuff like that. And it wasn't any great surprise to me that British Invasion won. Of course, both teams, did a really good job in the ring as far as the wrestling goes. That's the one thing about TNA. As most of you are aware, I'm very down on TNA, and it's not because of the wrestlers or the work that we see in the ring. Or the work rate. 90% of the guys in that company give you absolutely everything that you expect and more. And the one thing about wrestling is it never, ever disappoints overall. And I thought that overall the match was pretty good. It was a good way to start this thing, I think. But that's just my... And, of course, the next match on the card, thanks very much to Mace, by the way, for keeping track of everything and what went down and who won. The TNA Knockouts Championship title, Tara taking on ODB and beating ODB to become the new Knockouts Champion. Mace, I'm going to you first this time because you, during our pay-per-view chat, had a couple of observations that you made, and I want to hear.
It, basically, the match itself was pretty average. You know, it was sort of a bit of a tanker than what we usually not the knockouts. What sort of got to me was the way that Tara was celebrating after the match. They were making it out to be like a first ever title reign, when in fact this is a second. Also, I'm really enjoying ODB's very slow heel turn, if anybody has really picked it up besides myself.
Well, with the ODB's very slow heel turn and Tara with her thank you speech at the end, what are they doing with her character?
With Tara's or ODB?
With Tara's.
Well, it seems that they're just trying to make it out to be that she's really trying to get rid of the diva label that she's suddenly been given, especially with this recent feud with ODB. But, yeah, it's sort of just an acceptance thing. And while it might not be the best way to, it seems to be working. So if they got something that works, why not go with it?
That's right. If it works, you don't fix it. That's what Granddad always said. Omega, your thoughts and opinions? Mm-hmm.
No, it was a pretty quick match, but I don't know. The title change surprised me. I think ODB, even when she hasn't held the belt, she seemed like the top knockout in TNA for a long time now. So, I mean, I've always been a big fan of Tara or formerly Victoria, and I was always upset with how she was railroaded in the WWE. So, I'm glad to see TNA giving her a solid chance now.
Well, her ODB losing the title, I think that really powers that heel turn that Mace was talking about, personally speaking. Well, yeah.
Wait to steal a comment out of the chat room, Tim.
Anyway, Will, one question before I ask you about your thoughts about Tara being the new champion. What are you eating?
I was eating hot dogs.
Oh, here, I was thinking for some reason it might have been pizza. And I was going to say, if it was pizza, you better have brought enough to share with class. But you can keep the hot dogs, thanks. What do you think about Tara holding the Knockout Championship title?
I'm good with it.
And ODB's very slow, very subtle heel turn?
Hopefully they won't fuck it up.
Very eloquently put. Okay, Spire, are you still with us?
I am here. There you go.
So
I did let the puppy out. I'm sorry.
Okay. I kind of figured you might have. Why don't you give us, first off, your impressions of your thoughts about British Invasion beating Motor City Machine Guns?
I didn't see it.
I know you didn't see it, but what is your thought about it? Do you have any?
No, I don't. And here's the thing. Everybody, look, I get a legitimate gripe to bag on TNA tonight. You know why? Because I sat down and watched it.
At a very young age, I would tell stories.
Not
and in those
about things sight unseen like you usually do.
You know, like, normally when I bitch about it, oh, you don't watch it, you don't know. I watched it tonight. I watched the pay-per-view tonight. And now I have a right to bitch.
Damn, where's that sound clip that I would love right now? What do you want, a medal? Anyway, what do you think about Tara winning the title off ODB?
You know, who cares? Really, because we've known for a while now that TNA has the better women's division.
Okay.
And so, you know, ODB can wrestle, Tarek, whatever her name is now, can wrestle. Go for it.
Well, Will said, when I asked him about ODB's slow heel turn, that his major concern is that hopefully they don't fuck it up. Do you see that happening?
Well, it's TNA. They can fuck anything up. Case in point. Oh, Nigel McGuinness, Kurt Angle.
We'll get into that in a minute as soon as we get to the match.
Just one sec, Tim.
Yeah.
Hold on. By the looks of it, everybody here, with the exception of Spug, is trying to find the positives.
Uh-huh.
For gear.
It's Christmas time. We are in a jolly mood.
I'm currently shopping for gear, and I'm not finding what I want. It's pissing me off.
Well, in my case, it's just a simple fact of the matter. I wasn't disgusted by a TNA pay-per-view this time out.
All right, when we get to the matches I saw, I can comment on them. But for the rest of the pay-per-view, fuck it. Don't care.
Okay. Speaking about the rest of the pay-per-view, coming up on the other side of our first break of the night, we're going to take a look at the Feast or Fired match, and we'll talk about everything that went down. Of course, if you didn't catch it, the first case number two actually went to Sheikh Abdul Bashir. Case number four goes to Big Rob Terry, and case number one went to Kevin Nash, with case number three going to Samoa Joe. And we'll tell you exactly which case held what, just on the other side of this timeout right here. Let's talk to you here Sunday night on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Stick with us. We'll be back right after this.
Generation X, once again here to help you with your holiday gift-giving ideas. That's right. You know, Sean, this time of year it can get quite cold. Unless you live in the lower states, close to the equator, which it's a little bit warmer. Although it is quite chilly sometimes at night.
It's a fun fact.
It can get brisk, yes. On those cold days, it's best to dress warm. And what better way to keep the cold off than with this D-Generation X shock hooded sweatshirt.
No, the key to cold weather, layers. Lots and lots of layers.
So underneath my sweatshirt, I wear the DX shock t-shirt. And you want to make sure WWE authentic. Wear with the Stodgers. And if that's not good enough for you, you can always purchase your King of Kings Triple H Bear. I guess this is from your Conan the Barbarian collection.
Ooh, nice bear.
Yeah, you know, and if that's not quite what you're looking for, there's always the Shawn Michaels Village People Bear. That's right. Look at the authenticness of it. Look at the hair. Thinks just like yours. It even comes with a button you push in the back where all the hair falls out.
Stay! We will...
You said we'd never speak of this again.
Ever!
You started it.
Happy holidays. DS. www.shop.com.
Run a webcast or have a podcast, audio blog, etc., and you need the occasional liner, sweeper, bumper, or intro? Check out VOLiners.com.
VOLiners.com is a free service bringing the internet broadcasting community together. Membership is free and you can log in anytime.
Simply post your script request and let another community member take it from there. It's that easy. Then come back and check your post and download the completed audio.
It's also a great site to add to your portfolio. Gain practical experience by helping your fellow members out and recording their requests.
Remember, it's 100% free to join and use.
VOLiners.com. Voiceovers, liners, sweepers, and bumpers for your broadcast. Join today.
Hi, everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slobber knocker.
Back to Rust Talk Radio WTR Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. TNA post pay per view show for free, like the 12 days of WTR stated last night. If you didn't catch that, you might want to check out the archives maybe someday eventually when you got nothing better to do. I don't know. But here it is. Take a look at the third match on the card tonight, Feaster Fired. Well, the case one goes to Kevin Nash, and guys, he gets a tag team title shot. Your opinions, your thoughts?
I can't wait for the return of Scott Hall.
After he gets done with his drinking binge in Australia.
This better not be his tease of putting the band back together with Hulk Hogan.
Well, according to Crowley in the chat room, Nash tweeted that he, X-Pac, Hall, and Hogan would be reforming soon.
Yes, Hall's back.
Great.
Someone look up the booze cupboard.
Guys stumble around in the ring.
Well, wait a minute. Are we talking about Hall or are we talking about Jake the Snake?
Hall.
Either or.
Think about it.
All right. We can call it the UWO, the Unemployed World Order.
There you go. Now, Big Rob Terry, he gets the X Division title shot.
Why? Why? That guy was a perfect candidate for getting his ass kicked out of the fucking joint. Why did he get the X title shot? He's done nothing.
Because they had to swerve us.
Yeah, there's always one Feast or Fire case that goes to someone that's complete nonsense. It makes absolutely no sense.
How many of you guys wanted to see Rob getting the fired case?
I wanted to see Diener get the fired case.
Yeah, if it wasn't Diener, Terry would be the logical choice.
Choice?
Get to the chopper.
And, of course, the next case handed out, the world title shot, captured by Samoa Joe.
Surprise.
First off, how many of you guys are glad that we didn't see Samoa Joe come at the end of tonight's main event to cash in?
Me.
Definitely. I wouldn't want that match spoiled, and I wouldn't want to be cheated out of a better Joe and Styles match.
Agreed.
I can't disagree with that one. I'm glad TNA didn't take that route. And, of course, the last case, the fired case, goes to Sheikh Abdul-Bashir.
Yep, let's keep firing people who were champions on a company once. Great idea.
Mace?
I don't know. He goes away and he gets Muhammad Hassan. Comes back in a mask, becomes a full-blown terrorist.
There you go. Yeah, coming back with a mask. You know, they did this with Daniels, and he shows up in a mask. He was Curry Man. I don't think that they'll wind up calling Bashir Curry Man just because, you know, gimmick version and stuff like that. But maybe he'll come back as Chakra Man. With another Indian spice. Eh, you know, depends on whether or not Russo's writing, right? Which one of you guys said that Bashir winds up in a match against Daniels and Daniels winds up with the case?
That would be me.
Yeah, a little too formulaic, don't you think?
You never know. All the other...
Well, no, it's TNA booking.
Yeah, all the other cases seem to be treated like temporary championships that can be traded back and forth. Why not this one?
There you go. So is TNA in danger of turning the titles into props more than the important thing?
They weren't already?
Not as much as some things in WWE will.
Oh, yeah.
I'd say if done right, these cases could hold more importance than the Money in the Bank bullshit over at the WWE.
That's the big argument, though, isn't it, though, Mace?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, just like Rock is asking us in the vaccines chat, have they ever done the cases right?
Not really. With the exception of Hernandez having a world title shot.
I think that one came a little too soon. If he had won it tonight, he wasn't even involved, unfortunately, I would see it a little, it'd make a little bit more sense. Not a year ago.
Sure. But then again, they haven't really handled most of them right. After all, Daniel's one of the best workers in the company. He's been fired twice.
Well, to be fair, once was to bring in Curry Man, and once was to get rid of Curry Man. And in both cases, I thought it was fairly well played. It changes things up. It puts in something a little bit more fun than usual. And I don't know. I didn't think it was all that bad until the Shark Boy thing went down.
Anyway.
Yeah, moving on. So, overall, the Feast of Fire match, insights or thoughts, Omega?
None really.
Oh.
I'm trying to figure out what they're going to do with such a big guy wrestling in an X Division match, but oh well.
Mace?
The only bit I found amusing about the entire match was the fight over the briefcase between Bashir and Cody Dino. Considering what the briefcase ended up being, it was like they were fighting over who gets to leave.
Fighting over who gets to get fired.
No, I want to go. No, I want to go. I'm sick of it here. I want to go.
I want to leave. Please let me leave. So what are the chances that Bashir is actually legitimately done with TNA?
Give it about 6 months and you'll find a way back in.
I'm fairly convinced he's done here. He never really impressed me much in TNA. I'd be thrilled if he was gone.
WWE is smart, and they need credible heels that make the crowd hate them, they will bring back Hassan. And they will give him the Hassan gimmick. No more of this stupid terrorist sacrificing people bullshit. They will give him the Hassan gimmick back. And we will see a true heel back in the WWE.
But that wasn't Hassan.
With the exception.
Stone.
Yeah. Bring back Hassan and Daivari.
Yeah, Daivari.
Yeah, that'd work.
Daivari was a footnote in that. The real heel there was Hassan. Daivari was a footnote. Daivari was a footnote because Daivari only spoke Arabic. He never spoke English. Hassan was the only one that spoke in English.
Yeah, he's off in Hollywood right now thinking he can be an actor, though.
Yeah, how's that working out?
Is it...
Well, he hasn't appeared in anything I remember.
Oh, there you go. That should probably tell you just about everything you need to know then and there, hey?
I'll tell you this, Wikipedia doesn't mention anything about him until, since 2005.
There you go. So, overall, the match was meh, whatever. Wasn't the biggest reason to buy this pay-per-view now, was it?
It's the usual clusterfuck.
Any thoughts about it there, Spud?
Careless. I'm on a mission to find something here.
Okay.
And,
what do you...
And I'm trying to get stuff for gear.
Uh-huh.
And it is not working. It is not working at all, and I'm really getting pissed off because I can't find what I want.
Spugs give a damn, Brick.
How long ago did that happen, though?
Figures, I fucking find it on a goddamn Canadian website.
At least it'll be cheaper.
No, it's still about $13 American a yard for the fabric. But figures, I find it on a fucking Canadian website.
And what's wrong with that?
It's a goddamn Canadian website!
That's right, Spug. You can always get the stuff imported from Canada along with the Canadian flag you might have to wear.
I had to figure out how I'm going to get a hold of one of those.
I'm sure Tim will gladly send you one.
Well, this shit's got to get
it's
here
a good
by
thing
January.
It won't be there until about 3 years later, then.
Oh, good on you. Good on you.
Yes.
You see, you know.
Tim's quiet now.
Yeah, I respond to shit like that.
Here, you know, the funny thing is, with this whole pay-per-view, is y'all are talking about, oh, it was great. It was actually an entertaining pay-per-view for once. It was one out of how many? I told Omega, I was driving home from work, I told Omega, this will be interesting, because the last TNA pay-per-view I saw, actually watched, was Lockdown in 06.
Wow.
Lockdown in 06. And I tell you what, not much shit has changed from 06 to 09. You're talking about the belts being props in WWE. Like they aren't in TNA. Really? We're gonna have a Money in the Bank match, but what we're going to do to make it different from WWE is we're going to put more than one fucking briefcase in there. This company is grasping and stretching to keep up with WWE. WWE barely has to lift a finger to compete. We got Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff. Guess what? We got Bret Hart, and we're going to have him fight Vince at WrestleMania. We're going to sell out in one pay-per-view more than all of TNA's pay-per-views will in 1 year. I guarantee you, the buy rates for WrestleMania this year, if that match happens, combined, will be more than TNA's buy rates for the entire year on one pay-per-view alone.
Well, you know, kids, I think Spud just might have a little bit of a point there.
True, but it's a point that we're looking at making later in the show.
Yeah, we'll be talking about that in a little bit. Yeah, absolutely.
Let's wrap this one up. Come on.
Yeah, it's just about... Move on in the notes. The next match up, we got the 8-man tag team elimination match with Mac Morgan, Hernandez, the Bob D'Angelo Dinero, and Suicide defeating Team 3D, Rhino, and Jesse Neal.
This match makes no goddamn sense.
Hope is pimping.
Explain to me why Hernandez got DQ'd and Neal didn't. Not like I care.
We have no idea.
Hernandez fucking killed Neal. Oh, that chair shot was wicked.
Yeah, he's going to have one hell of a headache for the next couple of days.
My moment, the night was made for me with that chair shot.
I think he was absolutely fucking creamed on that one.
Neal felt it like death.
With all the chair shots and stuff tonight, what did you say in the chat, Mace?
Yeah, so the WWE might have had a phone call from the people for the ethical treatment of ladders. TNA will be getting one from the people for the ethical treatment of chairs.
So that would be Petsy?
Something like that.
How would you pronounce that? Petsy?
I don't know, but how about we go on to pronouncing the next match?
No one cared about this match.
All we cared was that Hernandez killed Neal with a wicked chair shot. Move on.
Okay, there you go. That was the thing about that 8-man tag team match. Up next, the last man standing, the boss, Bobby Lashley, up against Scott Steiner. And the victor was not Scott Steiner.
Okay, this one I can talk about.
Before you do, Spug, I want to say this. I am sick of wrestlers, girlfriends, partners, wives, whatever, getting involved in wrestling when they don't know wrestling. I'm sorry. As good as they look, and as much as Spug would like to have Crystal be Spugged, as it was coined in the chat room tonight, she seriously has no point in being out there.
She should just
disappear in the back and wait for the show to be over.
No, dude, I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. Unless you're a ring announcer, unless you're a valet, unless you're an actual worker, you shouldn't be anywhere near that ring. Nowhere near it. Second of all, for a gimmick match, that crowd was fucking dead. I don't care if it's Doink the Clown and the Gobbledygooker in the middle of that ring. It's a last man standing match. First of all, for it to be third to the last, you know, third last match on the card, says it should be up there. You know, it should be up there because of the fact that it is a gimmick match. But when that crowd sounds like a crowd that you hear in a bingo or an armory hall on a Saturday night in the middle of bumfuck Midwest United States, it's absolutely bullshit. That crowd sucked for that match. In fact, from what I heard, the crowd sucked all night. But that crowd sucked. And I don't care if it was Steiner and Lashley that they didn't like. I don't care. You as a company, your job is to get that crowd pumped up and to get them into the match, no matter who's working it. No matter who's working it. And they couldn't do that. And they failed. Which is why it is an inferior product. We'll put it this way. We'll say Drew McIntyre and Hornswoggle in a last man standing match in front of that crowd, and it would fail. You have to be able, no matter who you are, to get the crowd going. And if you can't do that, you have no business being in a ring.
Yeah. I'll agree with you exactly on that, Spug. I do place a little bit of blame, well, pretty much a lot of the blame, on Lashley and Steiner themselves. Like you said, if they can't get the crowd pumped up, if they can't get them on their feet doing something, then they really need to rethink how they work. I know that the Steiner's been around for, you know, 20 plus years. He should really know better. You know, even if it's a little bit of crowd interaction, it's something to get the crowd fired up. The crowd was absolutely dead for this match, which is not right.
It shouldn't have been that dead. And, you know, you can agree with me. That crowd, I don't know how crowds are in Australia, but that crowd was what you would hear in a shit armory hall on a Saturday night for the local company that couldn't even bring in a name.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to pick on Tim, and I'm not trying to pick on Calgary, but that's the type of crowd I heard for a few matches on old Stampede DVDs. And that's not for a national company like TNA who wants to compete with a big boy on the block. That's not a good sign.
Now, when you say no offense to Tim, but that's what you heard on old Stampede DVDs. Now, are you talking about the DVDs I've put together?
I'm just talking. Well, the only Stampede I ever saw was the stuff that when you started doing their tapings.
Yeah,
that's all that or on old WWE DVDs where they would bring, you know, show old footage.
I'm not trying to
offend you because it's Calgary. That's what I meant, because it's Calgary and it's Stampede and it's Canadian.
Yeah, no, I'm not offended at all. I just wanted to it's an indirect way of backing up what you're saying. A reaction like what you're talking about tonight is fantastic for something like Stampede Wrestling in the incarnation that it was in when I was working it.
You know, because it's not the Impact Zone crowd. And Mace tried to say, well, it's the horrible Orlando crowd. It is. A crowd is a crowd is a crowd is a crowd.
You're either hot or you're not. There's,
yeah,
you know,
you're either good and you're getting them into it or you're not. I'll put it this way. I watched a main event in a show about a year ago that I was in for the championship, for the heavyweight championship of that particular promotion. And it was literally three bumps, and the match was 15 minutes long, and the crowd, it was the match of the night. The crowd popped the hardest for that match, mm-hmm. because they used everything, psychology, everything. They didn't even have, they hit each other maybe three times. There were three total bumps. It was great. And when you have a gimmick like Last Man Standing, and you have two big behemoths like Steiner and Lashley. You're telling me you can't get that crowd to go nuts for that?
Well, in my personal situation, it's Steiner and Lashley. What the hell is there to get me up for that?
I get that. No, I get that. But, like I said, a crowd is a crowd is a crowd. You make the match the show. Forget the workers involved. You make the match the show. The story behind the match the show. Those two have been at each other's throats for how long? This was supposed to be the be-all, end-all of the feud?
2 months.
Payoff.
And this was supposed to be the payoff? This was like a lazy ass fuck from a bad boyfriend.
You mean a bad date between you and Triple H?
Yeah!
Man, it's a damn good thing that we are not on terrestrial radio right now.
Right. We'd be in so much fucking trouble.
Omega, you don't need to perpetuate the damn thing by fucking swearing all the time now, do you?
Hey, don't give me shit about swearing, goddammit.
Oh, well, goddamn, would you ever shut the fuck up?
It's one of those things.
You're not swearing. Silence gives a sound.
All right. Come on, people. Somebody take us out to break.
Hey, hey, everybody. You're listening to Wrestle Talk Radio WTR Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. A little bit more TNA coming up. We got three more matches to take a look at. Got on the other side of this timeout. And, of course, we've got other things going after that. Make sure you stick around. We'll be back right after this.
The Bang Cartoon Radio Hour is now on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You got some email?
Yeah, after watching Mark Sanchez scarf down a wiener on the sidelines, Jeff Garcia immediately demanded to be traded to the Jets.
You want the latest NFL news? You won't get it here. You want NFL stats and analysis? You won't get it here.
Skip Bayless talks to Chad Ochocinco week 8.
The Steelers and the Ravens will wind up better than you. I've got you losing down the road here.
Losing what?
Baltimore? At Pittsburgh?
Try, please.
Skip Bayless is like my crack.
If you want the best and funniest NFL podcast on the internet, join us for the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour, Friday nights at 8:30, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Bang!
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Otaku Talk Live.
I got a 15 on the intelligence roll.
Okay, what are you doing with it?
Trying to find the slinky.
Okay, you find the slinky, but it's one of those cheap new plastic ones.
This one. Go to the top of the stairs.
I yell, watch out for paint cans.
Duck.
Okay, since he's smart enough to say duck, he dodges the duck that swings down from the top.
Duck and dodge paint cans, ducks, and any other flying object.
Okay, you also ducked the free pussy that flew by, but that's okay. You're now at the top of the staircase with a slinky in hand.
Put the slinky on the top stairs and tip it over.
I get our following to, Shaniqua's following to, members, and we all start going, go, 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 go. Alright, hang on a second. This. Oh, the slinky stops halfway down.
Oh!
God, I hate when that happens.
You know what? At this point, I'm going to roll for the steal and the win.
Wait, what?
LAB Rule, Chapter 7. Subsection 15.
Oh, geez. Yeah, you're right. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, roll a d20. I hope Bob Barker doesn't go in this castle.
For more geekiness, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Tuesdays, 11 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yo, I'm in 5 Horrors of Fate.
I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? Huh? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sakes. And you know what you're listening to? You're listening to Wild Talk. That's why they're trying to cage me.
Too many scenes better than that wrestling intro thing. So, guys.
Fuck you, no bag of Raven.
What was that about Raven?
I love that damn theme.
That's what I was saying. That's a good intro theme.
It's one of the few good things TNA's ever put out.
One of them. There have been about, what, four?
Four things total or four themes?
Like four total.
All right.
Like good ones. I don't know. That's just my opinion. Anyway, we're about, most of the way through breaking down the TNA Final Resolution 2009 pay-per-view right here on Russ Talk Radio, WTR Sunday night. Got three matches left to look at, and, I guess it's true that you do save the best for last. Now, I'm not talking about this next match, but the last two were absolutely... definitely worth some of the money that you had to pay to get this pay-per-view. Up next, we got the tag team match Abyss with Mick Foley defeating Dr. Stevie and Raven. Mace, what do you think?
Well, two things were sort of proved. Oh, one main thing, really. The art of selling can be done really well, or it can be done sort of half-assed.
Yeah.
Raven, every time he takes a shot, sells like he's been friggin' killed. Abyss, on the other hand, seems to only sell when he remembers that he's got a big-ass injury on his leg.
Yeah. He kind of sort of forgot that a few times tonight, didn't he? That he was supposed to be hobbled around because he got his leg burned.
Yeah, that's one thing a lot of people in that company forget to do, is sell previous injuries or... If you get hammered and like really hard in the head by something, you make it look like you're dead. You know, Jesse Neal was a prime example of that tonight.
Oh man!
But real quick, before I get on, I'm sorry, Mace. I just remember this. It's something jogged my memory. Before we get to the tag team, did anybody else but me here in the Steiner Lashley match, Taz take a shot at Michael Cole?
I missed it.
I caught it, yeah. As somebody would say, vintage. That was classic.
They were... Steiner did something, and Taz goes, that's classic Steiner right there. Or as most people would say, or some people would say, vintage Steiner. I had to mark so hard for that, because I'm not the only one sick of hearing that word.
Well, hell, we're turning it into a drinking contest for the Rumble.
Oh my God,
bitch.
Yeah, By the way, I have a full liter of Jägermeister for that contest.
Oh, no.
It's going to be gone.
That reminds me. You know, that's what I want. I'm getting sick and tired of these vodka coolers. I want some Jager.
I have a full liter of Jägermeister that is sitting in the freezer, so it's going to be of tar consistency. I'm going to pull it out for the Rumble.
This reminds me, I should go and buy a bottle of bourbon for that.
This is...
This is going to be so much fun.
Tim, you realize that there are no FCC regulations here on the internet, and I may get us kicked off the internet by the time the night is over.
You know, I'm thinking that if there's anybody who can get Joe kicked off the internet, it's got to be Spud. Go for it.
This is maybe bad.
I mean, you're talking about a medium that hosted something called Two Girls, One Cup.
Exactly. And I may be able to get it kicked off of that.
God. This is going to be so much fun being the only one that can remember this episode.
Oh, no, no. We'll all remember it when the commercials pop up.
Oh, Rock's
going to get a lot of clips that night.
Anyway, I'm sorry, Mace. I just wanted to... I just remembered that. I'm like, I got to say that before people forget.
My turn to interrupt, Mace. How many ways of, how many cells did you say there were? Good and half-ass?
Yeah, good selling and then half-ass selling.
That story. I do believe he has none.
He sits outside that circle where it's the none area. I'm talking about selling where people actually fucking do it.
Selling where people actually do it. Do the selling.
Do the selling. Tell the stories. Do the selling.
Okay, well, why don't we get back to some vintage radio and talk about the pay-per-view?
I'm sad I missed this match, no matter how shady it probably was. I just love watching Raven and Stevie.
It was a decent match. It really was a decent match.
That's what you would expect from them.
My problem came with the fact that I don't know how many times Taz mentioned the third-degree burns on Abyss's legs, and the selling was half-assed at best by Abyss at most points. Problem is, TNA, if you're gonna sell an injury, at least make it a believable one. Has anybody ever seen what a third-degree burn looks like? It's nasty. I guarantee you he's not walking on it if it's on his leg, let alone wrestling.
Agreed.
So, really, I could understand a severe second-degree burn. I could get that. I could buy into that. That's fine. But a third-degree burn? Really? Why don't we shoot for the realm of reality just a little bit?
So we can agree that they shouldn't have... it was the writers who fucked that up. They should have said, okay, it's a second-degree burn. A very serious second-degree burn.
Yeah.
There is, you know, Mace says that there's two types of selling. There's the good sell and the half-ass sell.
That was a very half-ass sell on their part.
Well, there's two types of writing. There's good writing, and then the shit that we get usually out of TNA and a lot of WWE.
Again, they fucked that up. They really did. And I'm not trying to just bag on them, but really, if I get injured in a match and they start selling it that I tore my ACL, am I gonna, you know, do flippies and stuff?
I certainly hope
not. No.
I'd pay to see Spug do flips.
You know what? Here's the thing. DL Havoc.
Spug. 1 6. Last match I wrestled, I got drop kicked in my left knee, which is my bad knee. And that was pointed out during the match. I barely got to my feet at any point during the rest of that match because I was selling that knee and that fucking hurt. But still, you know, that's what you do. If you get drop kicked in a bad knee or something like that, you turn around and you sell that. You can't get up properly. You have to use the ropes. You have to use your opponent. That's the type of selling that these guys really need to look into.
Right. But, all right, DL Havoc's in our chat room. Him and I wrestled for a very long time together. We were a tag team for a while. We wrestled singles. He was the only one that I would even do any type of aerial moves with. You know why? Because I knew he'd catch me, because he's as fat as I am.
It's that issue of trust that wrestlers have to have in their opponents.
It's just, I get it that sometimes you just, and maybe Abyss didn't hear that they're selling it as a third degree burn, so, you know, maybe he's not selling it like it would be, but the thing is there has to be some level of communication there.
How many times did you see him get to limp?
Yeah, there was barely any limping.
Yeah. And if you have degree burns, you're not walking around, never mind forgetting to limp.
Right. And, you know, we were in Illinois. I was in Illinois wrestling. And They wanted me to sell a back injury from being slammed, you know, the cross body into the turnbuckle over and over. I forgot to sell it once, and the dude I was wrestling stiffed the hell out of me and knocked one of my back teeth out.
Ooh.
I never forgot to sell after that.
Oops. Nothing like getting work stiff, as they say in wrestler parlance. One thing about this match, Tony brings it up in the chat room, where the hell was Foley for a good at least half of it?
Apparently robbing New Jack. Apparently.
Let's go with that.
Now, come on.
Really spend all that time getting that barbed wire in that nice little circle.
Yeah, Foley robbed New Jack. New Jack could stab him. You know that.
Hell, you know. It's like a... You know how to hold a black man down, Tim. We do it on this network all the time. Just ask Mike.
Oh.
Oh. Ooh.
Too soon?
A little bit.
Wait 5 minutes.
Anyway.
Oh, God, DL Havoc. Damn it, dude. You got to bring that story up. I'm not telling that again.
Yeah, we don't want to know about it. Let's to the good matches of the evening.
Maybe I'll save that for the end of the show again, because there are people apparently that haven't heard it. Anyway, you know, the next match was the Desmond Wolf, Kurt Angle, 2 out of 3 falls match. It was submission. Pin was the first fall. Submission was the second fall. The third fall was a traditional cage match. Am I the only one that has a issue with the way that thing ended?
No.
I do think Wolf looked like a bitch at the end.
Yeah. I think we all agreed on that in the chat, that Nigel was looking like a bitch for that third part.
I said it. I said they made him look like a bitch. And here's the thing.
Okay, before you do that, Tony O in the chat room is going, it's very Russo-esque. Okay, Tony, shut the fuck up. Because Frank's sick of people turning around with endings they don't bloody like and going, oh, it's fucking Russo booking.
But that was, dude, that really was a Russo-esque ending. Look, I get your point of bitching about it with endings that they don't like, but really, that was a Russo-esque ending. They built this guy up. I mean, and for those of you who have ever seen Nigel McGuinness in ROH, you know that that dude is a bad motherfucker.
Yes.
You know he is bad. So
a couple of years worth of ROH tapes, I've seen what the guy can do.
Oh yeah. So when you get, I mean, McGuinness, you know, McGuinness versus Danielson matches are some of the classics of ROH, but when you get to the end of that match, and it was a clinic, that match went, what, 30 minutes? Almost 40? And for the first two parts of that match, it was an absolute clinic on chain holds and traditional psychology wrestling. It was awesome. Absolutely awesome. But you get to the ending, and you get to the point where you know Angle's going over. Yet, you've taken this super, the star that you've built, that has been built from ROH to TNA, and has this credibility to him that you didn't have to do anything with. He came lock, stock, and barrel with his credibility to TNA. And you job him out like that to Angle. Look, I can understand him putting Angle over, but when you job him like that, there's a difference between putting someone over and jobbing them. And to take Nigel and put him in the ankle lock for a minute plus on the mat, and then have Angle with a sore, hurt shoulder climb the steel cage with two arms, and then all of a sudden Nigel wakes up and frantically scrambles for the edge of the cage trying to get out, looking, you know, like an epileptic autistic boy. It just made no sense. You took all the credibility Nigel McGuinness had, or Desmond Wolfe, whatever you want to call him, you took all that credibility and flushed it down the toilet so you could put Kurt Angle over.
I like how every sentiment there, and I'm going to add this one. Screw you, it's Nigel McGuinness. I'm never going to call him Desmond Friggin' Wolf.
Kind of like how I can't call Tara, or I can't call Victoria Tara.
He just did.
Shut up, I'm going to punch you in your nuts.
It just, it makes no sense to me.
Well, I don't see where an argument could actually be raised legitimately.
He doesn't want to argue. He wants to vent.
No, I'm just saying.
Look, believe it or not, when I came down from putting my kid to bed and getting off work and all that, and sat down in the chat room with you guys to watch pay-per-view, I actually sat down with the mindset of, all right, I'm watching this TNA. Prove something to me. Prove to me that all the things I say about you aren't true. Prove to me that you really are an up-and-coming company. And they couldn't do anything, any one of those.
So basically, Spug, you were trying to justify a reason to jump over to watch Impact rather than Raw on the floor.
No, I was trying to find a reason to justify watching both promotions. I was trying to find a reason, okay, people say they have great wrestling. And some of the matches I saw tonight, they do have great wrestling. But you got to take everything else into account. Everything else is shitty. ECW had great wrestling. They had great stories.
But they had
horrible finances. And a company can't survive with that.
They had Paul Heyman in charge of the finances.
Exactly. TNA. TNA has, from what I saw between Angle and McGuinness, great wrestling. Absolutely great wrestling. The Daniel Styles match, absolutely great wrestling. If I could turn the commentators off and just watch them wrestle, it'd be great. But they have no crowd. They have... The announcers were decent. Taz and TNA are good together. But, you know, when you have no crowd, your psychology of selling is absolutely horrible. How do you climb up a steel, a 10-foot tall cage with a bad shoulder?
And the thing is, they did that spot once in the match before where they had Angle try and climb the cage and go, oh, wait, I can't, my shoulder's hurt.
Yeah. And then it looked like he caught his testicles on the top of the cage.
Ow!
You ever see him wiggling up there? Seriously. I said it in the chat. Any redeeming quality TNA just had just went away with the ending of that match.
Any last rebuttals before we take a look at the main event tonight?
Not here.
With the exception of the last little bit of that cage match, it was definitely one of the better matches of the night.
Yeah, the cage match was fine, just soured on the ending.
Yeah,
I love the impact of McGuinness's lariat.
Have you ever seen ROH, Will?
I've seen a few of his matches in ROH.
There was one, I want to say it was either in New York or Cleveland, I can't remember, but he and Danielson wrestled to a bloody pulp. Both of them. He hit Danielson so hard with a lariat the one time, I thought Danielson was going to spit his teeth out.
Oh.
We'll talk about that later.
Amazing lariat.
Yeah, that's something I want to talk about later with guys like with Styles, AJ, McGuinness, Danielson, and Samoa Joe. So, let's just move on to the last match, which was the championship match between AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels.
Now, you've heard the term five-star match.
It was.
You cannot say that this was not. This was absolutely right. And this is, I do believe I said in our chat during the match, that this is exactly what TNA should have been doing, should have been selling us right from their inception, ever since they got onto cable.
You are absolutely right, Tim. And you know, there's a video out on YouTube from the early Ring of Honor days when it was the Pitbulls, Spanky, Christopher Daniels, AJ Styles, the guys that we know now in TNA that started in ROH when ROH had first started. They're in some shithole gym in Wyoming or whatever, and they were putting on the match we saw tonight on pay-per-view in a shithole gym in Wyoming. Those two, whenever they hook up, always put on a five-star match.
Yep.
I will never say anything bad about AJ Styles or Christopher Daniels when they wrestle. You know why? Because they always give the fans what they want and make sure that when you plunk down your money on the ticket, you're getting your money's worth. Even if it's for one match, you're getting your money's worth.
Yep. And, you know, as far as what I'm talking about, TNA should have been selling their fans this type of product right from the get-go. It's a case of, okay, sure, Daniels came in from a smaller company, as it were, but both of them give you a feel of homegrown talent.
Well, they've been in TNA pretty much since its inception.
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, they've both been there since the beginning days.
It's always been my perception that, you know, like when WCW back in the, you know, back in the 90s, the, let's face it, Sting was the franchise of WCW. And it has always been my contention and that of a lot of other wrestling fans that AJ Styles is the face of TNA.
Easily.
I will agree with you to a point. I will agree with you to a point. I think for a while there, they were trying to make Samoa Joe the face, and then they tried to make Angle the face and realized that that wasn't working, so now it's gone back to AJ.
Yeah. It never should have, the focus never should have been off AJ.
Yeah.
And you know, it'd be really hard-pressed to find anybody disagreeing with me.
I will say this about Daniels, though, and this goes back to what I was saying earlier about getting the crowd into it and fan interaction. Daniels had a moment during this match where the crowd was chanting "fallen asshole" at him, and he stops midstream, turns, and has a go at the crowd. This is something that I've been a part of. When there was a show down here that had AJ and Daniels in a last man standing match, and a group of us in one particular section were chanting, "Let's go Daniels," and he turns around, points at us, and goes, "I don't need your help." So we start chanting at him, "Yes, you do," and he cracks the shit. You know, it's amazing heel work, and it brings you into the match even more than even just watching the matches done between those two.
So it's your impression that when a wrestler breaks that fourth wall to acknowledge what the crowd is saying is a good thing?
It absolutely.
Yes.
Definitely.
Bring the crowd in. Make them feel a part of the show, and they will love you for it.
Now, you see,
that wasn't the only time in that match that happened either. When they went up to the top rope at one point, and Daniels hit the top rope Hurricanrana, just before the move was even executed, while they were still on the top rope, you heard the crowd go, "Oh!" Then right after the move hit, there were people in the front row pointing to some guy in the crowd as they were chanting, "You got served," which I think means Daniels just cracked on someone in the crowd, because they were pointing at this one guy chanting,
"You got served."
Speaking of top rope moves, man, that turnbuckle side slam. Oh, that was nasty.
They had a bunch of awesome spots in this match, like the monkey flip into the top rope.
I'm definitely going to acquire this show again just to rewatch that match because that was absolutely brilliant.
The middle of the rope superplex?
Well, this type of move is the innovation that we were initially sold on when TNA first sprang on the scene that, in my opinion, we haven't seen enough of. It was a very brutal-looking move. It was fantastically well done. And who actually, which one of you guys, I think it was Will, who thought that was a botch?
No, that was Mace.
That was me initially until I saw the replay. Yeah, okay. I thought it was a botch until I saw the replay.
Until they showed the replay on there. It was innovative. It was really, really well done.
I will say this. I had one small problem with this match, and that was AJ forgot to sell the back at the end.
Yeah, he has a very bad habit of doing that, especially when he wins, like, during a title match.
Well, the one thing that I can say is thank God the main event was not a spot fest. I think you brought that up, Will.
Yeah, I was like, wow, this is awesome, and they're not even doing the spot fest yet.
And that shows, like, the crowd picked it up in the main events here, and they were chanting, "This is wrestling." And pure and simple, I agree with them.
I can't wait for AJ or AJ Joe.
Like, Kurt and Nigel was, especially in the first two, showing pure, proper wrestling. AJ and Daniels were showing the entertainment side and bringing the crowd into it and making them feel a part of the show.
Well, in my opinion, there's, I brought this up earlier, there's nothing in my mind that enhances the work of the wrestlers in the ring than when they actually do break that fourth wall and do that little interaction with the crowds. You don't see it so much in WWE, mainly because the talent are told, ignore what's going on unless we have a plant.
And that's the one thing that does separate TNA from WWE. And, when you get the crowd going in TNA, you can see that it is like the old ECW crowds. They appreciate those guys and love them. And that's great. But you saw how long it took them to get the crowd going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
Well, all I can say is TNA, if you're listening, which, let's face it, they are, give us more of what you gave us for that main event. Get rid of some of the gimmicks that we are put up with. When you have guys that are supposed to sell injuries, teach them how to sell injuries. Out of 10 guys for TNA, I give this pay-per-view a 6.5 because of the last two matches. Mace.
I'll give it a 7 out of 10, and I'd like to add on that list of things TNA should do is be proud that they have a very expressive crowd. Like, as I mentioned during our chat, there was a fuck 'em up chant, and I haven't heard that wrestling in years.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
I think somebody pointed out it was like 3 years since we've heard that.
Okay, Spug.
I will give it a 5 out of 10 on the last two matches, because other than that, it probably was a shit pay-per-view. And I will add to TNA to the list, don't pretend to be something you're not.
Be yourself.
You're not WWE. You never will be. You will never be on that big of a stage. You could be like ECW was and compete with WWE and be profitable.
You can be the big fish in the little pond as opposed to Guppy in the ocean.
Exactly.
And be very successful doing it.
Exactly. Don't pretend to be something you're not.
Omega, final thoughts?
Probably about, I'll be more generous at a 7 out of 10, having yet two more matches from basically the same guys who gave us two Match of the Year candidates last time out. And if we're all just getting our messages out to TNA, I'd like to say, stop shitting on Rhino and do something with him.
And Will, last final thoughts with your grade.
The matches I saw were entertaining, and I enjoyed them, but I'll give it a 6.5. I'm going to echo Mace and Spug here. And that TNA shouldn't try and be WWE. One of the things I loved about early TNA was that it had that mainstream feel with a lot of the indie elements inside it. And we saw it last month in the main event with Joe Daniels AJ, where the fans were throwing streamers like they do in Japan during the intros. It's that indie feel on a main stage, and it's something they need to embrace and stop trying to get rid of.
They should welcome it instead of putting blinders on.
Right.
Well, there it is, everybody. A final rounded out score from us here at Rust Talk Radio with 6-4.
Tim. Tim, before we go break, just quickly, I want to actually ask this of everybody, and I do apologize to Rock because he's trying to take us to break. Match of the night, Daniels AJ or Kurt Nigel?
Hey, there you go. Yeah, so we want to hear what you guys are thinking the match of the night was. Don't forget, the phone lines are open on the other side of the break, 888-357-9876, option one. Call in, tell us your thoughts and views and opinions. You're listening to Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be back right on the side of this. Wild Talk Radio is sponsored by Tripology. Book your next trip with Tripology. If you're finding it's time to get away, you have an important upcoming business trip, or if it's last minute and you need to get there fast without any hassles, call Tripology today.
I'm sure.
If you're working too many hours and can't find the time to plan that badly needed vacation, then stress no longer. Tripology is here to help. Tripology will help you get to where you need to go, whether it's for an important business trip, a last-minute flight out to see a loved one, or that much-needed and overdue vacation. Now is the time to make Tripology your travel agent. Call Tripology toll-free at 1-866-289-9950 or log on to www.mytripology.com and plan your trip now.
Wrestling Talk has nowhere left to hide.
Running the Ropes is your definitive source for wrestling news and a more realistic perspective on a wide spectrum of topics.
No politics, no scripts,
no fake gimmicks.
Join Maverick and Nick on Running the Ropes, the only wrestling-based radio program in the San Francisco Bay Area, every Thursday at 6 p.m., right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, the evolution of online entertainment.
This is a public service message from your friends at the Wild Talk Radio Network. Saturday nights at midnight, the Wild Talk Radio Network presents Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, a show that has a reputation to sometimes take things a little too far with their use of vulgar language and explicit content. We here at the Wild Talk Radio Network are here to tell you that we will not stand for this any longer. We are going to make sure that Cigarette Butts and Bandanas cleans up its act. There will no longer be any use of vulgar language. There will be no more explicit content, and no one will be offended when they tune in to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Saturday nights, midnight Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thank you for your support, and continue to listen to the new and improved Cigarette Butts.
Screw that. Join us Saturday nights, where we will take things to the extreme, the only way we know how, with the no limits and uncensored nature of the one and only Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I'm former WWE superstar, ECW superstar, you name the initials with a W in it, superstar Al Snow, former trainer of Tough Enough, and just all around playboy and get about town. I love Wrestle Talk Radio, and so should you.
We'll be right back.
the best there was, the best there ever will be. There's a reason why you hear that music. Get used to it. It's coming back January 1st, 2010, in World Wrestling.
January 4th. Well, whatever.
If you're going to be the best there ever was, you might as well be the smartest there ever was, too. Get the goddamn date right, you idiots. Okay, jackass, here it is. The contract kicks in January 1st, so shut your pie hole, you stupid Clevelander.
But the show isn't until January 4th.
Yeah, but I'm sure he's got to be there, like, on the first to go through shit. So they're going to, you know, you'll hear it.
What's he going to go through? He's going to hobble out and talk shit to Vince.
That's right, everybody. Bret Hart returning to World Wrestling Entertainment. We're going to see him January 4th. It's pretty much a given and a guarantee, but nothing official as of yet has been mentioned. I recommend strongly keep your eyes glued, keep your ears peeled to Monday Night Raw tomorrow when things really heat up. What's your reaction? What do you think about Bret Hart coming back to WWE after, let's just do a little bit of math here. 12 years. Will, first.
Am I the only one who just wants to see Shawn kick Bret in the head?
No.
So it's just me? Okay.
Okay, yeah. Okay, Omega, your opinion.
Well, this does explain why DX won those tag belts, because now Shawn can hide out on Raw for a few months, or on SmackDown for a few months while Bret takes over Raw.
Okay, well, we've got a little bit of something to look into as far as that's concerned, considering what went down on Friday night SmackDown. Mace, what do you think?
Meh.
Yes or no? Yeah,
meh.
Whatever. Okay.
Pretty much.
I would ask Spud.
I'm reading Samoa Joe tweets.
Yeah.
Okay. I would ask Spud, but I really want to hear what he's got to say about Bret freaking Hart. So.
Spud, what do you think?
Well, I said it earlier. TNA decided to go live and have Hulk Hogan. So, WWE already one-upped them, because what has everybody been talking about for the last 13 years?
Bret Hart returning to WWE.
Exactly. Nobody gives a damn about Hogan. Nobody gives a good goddamn about Hogan coming to TNA. They all want to see what Bret Hart's going to do to Vince because of the 97 screwjob. They all want to see what's going to happen to that. And... If it comes down to it being a street fight at WrestleMania between him and Vince, which is a match that Bret Hart could wrestle in, even with his conditions, if it comes down to that, I said it, and I firmly believe it, there will be more buy rates for one pay-per-view than TNA will pull in a year.
Well,
because everybody who's watched wrestling in the last 20 years, that was the biggest moment in wrestling history at that point. It has been ever since. And we've all wanted to see the reaction when those two would finally come face to face. We thought we were going to get it a couple of years ago when Bret got inducted into the Hall of Fame, and it didn't happen. And now we're getting our payoff. The rumor had been going around for years that the whole 97 screw job was a work.
Yep.
It has been. If it really is a work, I give Vince and Bret credit for, one, pulling off the greatest work in wrestling history, and two, giving us one hell of a payoff 13 years later, because this is what it's all about.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, you brought up if it was a work, because there's been a rumor going around. I'll guarantee you pretty much that it's not, you know, it wasn't a work that was with, you know, 13 years worth of payoff in the waiting. A certain member of the Hart family, I'm not going to say who it is, but I know him pretty well, has even said on a few occasions that the whole 97 Montreal screw job was just that. It was a work, and because of who this individual is, it's money in the bank that it wasn't a work.
Well, I could care less if it was or it wasn't, but all I'm saying is that if it was, if it really was a work, they planned it beautifully.
Oh, yeah, no.
Played it beautifully.
That will be the biggest thing of the century. That, you know, if it turns out that this whole thing was set up by them just so Brett could look, you know, better in his fans' eyes when he went to WCW. And it was, let's face it, the whole genesis for the evil Mr. McMahon character came out of much of 97.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be a shame, then, that Goldberg ruined Bret Hart's career.
Ugh. Yeah. Damn.
Kill the master plan.
Even, you know...
That's why Vince buried him in his WWE run.
Yeah, there you go, man.
Yeah, that's why the invasion plan failed, because that was the whole crux.
Look, Bret... For anybody who says that Vince has lost a step or Vince is out of touch, all I need you to do is point to the blogosphere last Wednesday when the news dropped that this happened.
Yeah.
When the news dropped that this happened and that Bret had actually signed the contract and that Bret was going to be there January 4th, nobody cared that Hogan was on TNA. Nobody cared.
Well,
it was
Hogan,
all about Bret. And for all the times that Hogan fucked Bret over,
this is Bret's revenge on Hogan.
This is Bret's revenge. And I hope Hogan can't stand it and is going insane. Because as much as I don't like Bret, and look, Tim, you and I have had our discussions off the air about why I don't like Bret, and I feel there are fairly some legitimate reasons. There, it's not all, you know, BS reasons. There are a few legitimate ones, but I hate Hogan even more. I hate Hogan even more than I hate Bret, and I hope Hogan can't fucking stand this, and it drives him nuts.
Well, Hogan is going to do his desperate best to pull out as many stops as possible. We've heard rumors of people that are supposedly going to be showing up that he's not dropping any kind of a bombshell or anything like that. But if TNA wants to step up after this, which they should if they want to get anywhere, with Hogan's prediction of a rating of 3 for the first time ever for TNA, they'd better start mentioning some pretty big-ass fucking names for free agents signing with TNA, or at least showing up at least for a short time. Because nothing's coming out other than we've heard rumors, oh, we're bringing some big people in, and Dixie saying, oh, you know, this is just the beginning, yada, yada. Well, show us the money, honey. Show us the money. What else are you going to do besides bringing in that washed-up, bald-headed Hogan?
Look, you know, Maverick in the chat room, host of Running the Ropes, said Bret Hart signed with WWE and WWE didn't have a press conference to announce it. So what does that say for TNA? WWE didn't have to have a press conference. They didn't have to.
Yeah.
The sheets were all over Dennis Miller last week, 30 seconds after he said to McMahon, why don't you get Bret Hart?
Yeah. They were all over it last week, and then somebody, probably Vince, smartly leaked it, and it came out. The contract was signed, sealed, delivered. It was done, and these were the dates it was to.
Yeah, Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer. A confirmed source in WWE told me it's a done deal.
Yeah, and they gave the dates. That's the thing. They gave the dates. Yep. Effective January 1st to April, what was it?
10th, I think.
Yeah, a couple of weeks after WrestleMania. So, right there, you knew they were setting something up for WrestleMania weekend, and that he was going to be on the air, he was going to be on live television on January 4th. Look, Hogan may get his 3.0 rating with Hogan being on TNA, but it's only going to be a 3.0 rating for that moment that he first shows up. Because you know why? More people are going to tune in to Raw that night for the whole show to see, to wait and see. Because WWE does something that TNA doesn't do. TNA gives us the immediate payoff. You know, you follow me there? You know, when they hype something, the moment that they get the opportunity to give you the payoff, they do.
Oh, yeah. And
WWE makes you wait.
Well, yeah, it's WWE has that carny mentality. You do not give the crowd everything they want when they want it. You make them wait. And that is one of the reasons why soap operas work so well. You do not have a complete payoff in 30 minutes, or in WWE's case with the male soap opera, 120 minutes.
And I know everything, it's starting in our chat room already.
Mm-hmm.
Does this mean Owen's finally going to get inducted? Brett has nothing to do with Owen getting inducted. If Brett can convince Owen's wife to finally come off of it and let the man get the credit he deserves, it might just happen.
He'd need a shotgun to her head to do that, though.
No, it's all up to Martha Hart. I don't know how many of you guys read the book Broken Hearts. Martha is so against the business and has always been against the business. She put up with it because the man she loved was basically paying for the house they lived in.
Mm-hmm.
The business. She couldn't stand it. She's not a big fan of the Hart family, the rest of them, for the most part. And it's thanks to her we don't have any Best of Owen Hart DVDs. She's one of her big things is, you know, she doesn't want WWE making all of this money
off of it.
However, she's depriving the literally millions of Owen Hart fans out there by doing so. The other thing is she is also denying herself and her family
millions.
Oh, she is just, you know.
Here's the thing. WWE, for a very long time, has wanted to put Owen Hart in the Legends category in their SmackDown versus Raw games.
And no way.
For a very long time. And how many millions of copies does that game sell a year? How many millions of dollars in
flat seller?
Yeah, how many millions of dollars in rights does she get for that? Look, WWE may own the rights to the films that Owen are in, but she owns the rights to Owen's name. She owns the estate, and WWE can't release anything with Owen on it unless they get the sign off from the estate holder. And right now, she is being a dumb bitch.
Once again, everybody, I just want to clarify or express that opinions and views expressed by this bug, I don't necessarily reflect anybody else here on the Wild Talk Radio Network those of us involved with Russell Talk Radio. But I'm curious what are you thinking about this whole thing?
I don't know. I mean, the screw job was, like Spug said, the biggest moment in wrestling at the time. It was the hot topic still can be for years and years. And if they have Bret Hart on the January 4th show, I may have to, well, you know how I feel about WWE on and the way they're pushing Cena, and after Raw this week, I was like, man, I may have to at least boycott Cena's segments if he's going to go undefeated till at least Mania.
Yeah, as soon as I heard that, I couldn't help but think about you and your pledge.
Yeah, seriously, it was bad enough, and I had to watch it.
I heard that, and I'm just thinking I'm going to join Will on the boycott.
Yeah, now we know he's going to be undefeated. Oh, great, look, it's Goldberg. Anyways, like I said, I planned on watching TNA on January 4th, but if they have Bret Hart on Raw January 4th, I may have to at least set up two TVs in my room.
Well, here's another reason, like you didn't need another one. Here's another reason to hate Canada and us Canadians. I'm not going to have to worry about TiVoing or DVRing either program.
I can watch one program live and then catch the replay of the other program as soon as it's finished. Because up here in Canada, Raw goes at 7 o'clock, and then it's replayed at 10 o'clock. Now, that's Mountain Standard Time. So it's early enough for me on Monday night so that I can actually catch the replay of that after watching TNA. And I'll check out TNA for the first hour. I will give them that first hour because they're starting before Raw does. Raw will go an hour longer after TNA is finished. So you're going to get that crossover just like you used to have with WCW, which we didn't have a problem with up in Canada either. So, you know, once again, everybody, the phone lines here are open. If you've got a thought, an opinion, question, you want to say something about your favorite all-time wrestler ever, Bret the Hitman Hart, showing back up in WWE and making his re-debut January 4th, 2010, we want you calling in 1-888-357-9876. Option number one.
I'm going to put it out there. If they do, if obviously the contract's signed, and the moment they get Bret Hart on television to the moment he's off, it's more or less for WWE going to be must-see TV for anyone who was watching wrestling at least in 97.
When was the last time anybody was able to say WWE is going to be must-see TV, Omega?
Oh my God! I'm not sure it's been said in a long time. Not since The Rock and Stone Cold are both there at the same time.
And that's exactly what they need right now.
Yeah, everybody, we got a caller on the air. Our first caller of the night. Hey, caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Randy. What's up, guys?
Hey, Randy. I was wondering what time you were going to call in, and if we were betting, I would have been off by 10 minutes. What's going down, man?
Nothing much. Just here, find out about what happened with TNA, the final resolution. Nothing good going.
You didn't miss much with TNA final resolution, dude. You did.
Sure.
Yeah. So. If you could have paid for the last hour, that's pretty much all you had to do.
Yeah. If you could have bought pay-per-views by segment, that would have been the best way to go. But anyway, you didn't miss much. But the big news of the night is we're talking about Bret Hart, so.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to bring that up, too.
Well, bring it up, buddy.
Well, yeah, Bret Hart's coming back to the WWE starting next year.
What's your thought?
I think it's a good thing. It's they might be doing this to combat Hulk Hogan going into TNA with another big star, or at least one a little more relevant to.
Well, I mean, we've kind of figured this the whole point. There's rumor out now that TNA is trying to get a hold of Ric Flair to combat Bret Hart.
I kind of wish they'd pull this out longer just so the one-upsmanship could just go to ridiculous amounts.
Geriatric wrestling.
Oh, I mean, think about it. Bret Hart is a good get for WWE. Ric Flair is a good get for TNA. One, because he's in North Carolina. He's not far from Florida. Two, he can wrestle, get his work in, get paid, and go home. And not travel very often. The Hogan thing is just a money grab to me. It's TNA trying to play with the big boys when they're nowhere near capable of it. And I really, really hope January 4th teaches them a lesson. But my opinions don't matter because Randy's on the line. So, Randy, go.
Well, all right then. But, yeah, I'm thinking, like, what is TNA going to do now that Bret Hart's coming in? Because Hulk Hogan is supposed to be this big thing for the 4th. And if good logic or good booking would put Bret Hart on the 4th, but, of course, none of them know about good booking, so... Who knows about that? But still, TNA's starting to become, like, as you always say, another WCW. They're starting to bring in all the older stars now, or at least to come in, Hulk Hogan, to talk about Ric Flair. Who knows? And then that whole Jay Lethal thing, the Invitational, bring in all them in. It's WCW all over again, except this time, WWE isn't as shit as it was back in 95.
and TNA isn't really gaining steam.
Randy, go ahead.
Let me ask you this real quick. Since Bret Hart's got this contract, the moment, if and when he returns to WWE television, does that make WWE must-see TV?
Yes. At least Bret Hart's part of it. Maybe not so much the other people there, but Bret Hart is a bit of refreshment now from what we see on Raw and that shit Raw that was on the whole Slammy Awards on Monday. WWE's starting to do something about it now. We're starting to change with the times somewhat.
All right. Well, Randy, we got to get to a break, so I'd like to thank you for calling in, man.
All right.
Appreciate you calling in every week. We'll catch you next week on the show. Remember, stay tuned.
Did y'all get to see the tournament I came up with for the Great Debates?
Yeah, we got that, Randy. Thank you very much for sending it in, and we're going to get the final organization taken care of on
all
that
right.
one. And I'm going to thank you in advance right now for setting up the next round of the Great Debate.
Thank you. Yeah, my bad. You're welcome.
All right.
Thank you for using my idea.
All right. Thank you, Randy. All right. We got another caller on the line. Caller, name and where you calling from?
My name's Nick. I'm calling from Peoria, Illinois.
Hey, Nick, welcome to the program.
From Peoria, Illinois.
Yeah, I'm actually on here Ustream, and I was wondering what is Bret Hart coming back for, and what's going to be his role in the WWE?
All right. Bret Hart is coming back for his first on-air appearance January 4th, and initially it was to combat TNA when they go live with Hulk Hogan up against Raw January 4th. But because of the 97 screw job and the things that they can do with this, they have his contract through WrestleMania, and the rumor right now is it's going to be Vince versus Bret at WrestleMania.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
That
was a plan 3 years ago, and they never really pulled it off. So
yeah,
this is attempt number two.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying they have a contract for Bret Hart for
signed
until WrestleMania 20
January 1st till April 10th, signed, sealed, and delivered. The contract is valid. Bret Hart will be on your television in a WWE ring January 4th.
What? Real quick, when was that? Said that he'd be on there January 4th.
Last Wednesday, it's part of the contract. It's speculation in the contract, but really, you're going to sign Bret Hart to a contract for that length, for the road to WrestleMania, and you're not going to put him on against Hogan.
Right.
Exactly. Now, here's the other thing. Apparently, this was in the works over a month ago to bring Bret in. Bret had agreed tentatively over a month ago, based on certain sources telling certain individuals. The idea is to make Raw the general manager, to make Bret the general manager of Raw.
Really?
Wow.
Yes.
All right, I was wondering, what was in the contract, what would he have to do? Would he be, like, say, a guest referee in some matches? Would he be the guest manager?
With Bret Hart's medical conditions and his physical condition, you're not going to get much more out of him other than him being on mic and pushing the show forward. You're really not. But let me ask you this. If the Slammies, you had Shawn Michaels challenge Undertaker again. If they go a different route than Cena Taker at Mania, and you get Michaels versus Taker and Bret versus Vince, Aren't those two matches alone worth the money for the pay-per-view?
Oh, hell yeah. The only pay-per-view I order now anymore is the WrestleMania, because for one, they're too damn expensive.
Yeah.
You know, and two, I'll find everything out on WWE.com an hour later.
Tonio, we'll get to that later. But anyway, Tonio sits up in the chat room I want to talk about. But
That's a very good point with the pay-per-view cost, and we've talked about that time and time and time and time again. Nick, stay tuned every Sunday for Wrestle Talk Radio. I tell you what, rather than listen on Ustream, why don't you come on over to WildTalkRadio.com and see all the shows.
WildTalkRadio.com, okay.
WildTalkRadio.com and see all the shows that we have to offer throughout the week. Because we're not the only wrestling show on this network.
Oh, we got a few of them, and we've got a few other programs besides wrestling, too. So, yeah, check it out, www.wildtalkradio.com. We're about to go to a break, and so that'll give you enough time to navigate to the website. Click on Media Center in the navigation, and you'll be right back into the embedded chat room, and you'll see on either side all of the different shows and programming we have to offer right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Guys, I'd like to say thank you very much to Nick, who's obviously a first-time listener, for calling in tonight. And it's time that we take this bad mamma jamma to our next break of the evening.
Excellent.
Thursday night, the Wild Talk Radio Network becomes a place where anything goes. Prepare to be sinful. Thursdays, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
With 2009 coming to an end, Wrestle Talk Radio returns to the airwaves on December 27th to present to you the WTR Year in Review. From the return of a charismatic superstar.
Make it easy on yourselves, you little trolls. Come out here and face me like a man. Your dad can't save you now.
Stepping outside of our fantasy world of fake feud, to the reality of Jeff Hardy's current legal woes.
Look, I won, so I guess I proved everybody wrong. I became the first ever straight-edge world heavyweight champion. And then I got rid of Jeff for good. And just 3 weeks after he's gone for good, Jeff goes and does what I've been saying for months. It's all there in black and white. You can turn on the TV and you can see it. And I'll tell you this, Eve. You'll never see my mugshot posted all over the internet. You won't read about me in the headlines, unlike Jeff.
And for the legends that still have it.
And low drop kick, hit right to the patella. Oh, hang on. Watch this, Michael Cole. This is how it's done. By the Hall of Famers. Oh! Vintage Ricky the Dragon.
Join Wrestle Talk Radio on December 27th at 10 p.m. Eastern for the good.
Michael Cole is there! Let's go! He did it! Super
The bad.
Feels like an hour for us! He passed out! Oh, come on! What? John Cena is champion!
And the ugly.
I have just received word. Here is your winner. It's the new WWE Champion, Randy Orton.
Well, wait a minute. Randy Orton retains the title. Randy Orton retains the WWE Championship. He is the champion. He
didn't
win it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have just received word that Mr. McMahon has reordered for this match to restart.
That was 2009 right here, only on WildTalkRadio.com.
This is Bam Neely from the WWE. You might like me, you might not. You better respect me. And you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Wrestle Talk Radio, WTR Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We are in the middle of talking about Bret Hart returning to the WWE, and we had a couple of callers calling and talking about it, and I think that we should continue on this vein a little bit, because I got a couple of things I want to bring up, and I'm pretty sure you do too, Will. I'm going to go to you for, in just a minute, Will. The first thing I want to talk about is Bret Hart potentially giving the rub to the Hart dynasty with his being back in WWE.
Does it matter? That's not why he's there.
But as long as
did you see SmackDown there?
As long as Bret Hart is there, it would be nice to legitimize that group other than a bunch of people leeching off the Hart name.
Okay. Yeah. Let's... That's like going to the grocery store and you know you have to buy diapers. But while I'm at the grocery store, I'm going to stop and look at tampons. Really? Dude,
well, on a second there.
The Hart Dynasty is supposed to be a big deal over on SmackDown. The least you can do is give them a bit of a push while you've got a real Hart there.
He's not going to be on SmackDown. He's going to be on Raw. Are you going to move the roster around so that you can give a sideways push?
This is a build-up to WrestleMania. The rosters don't matter a damn bit anyway.
They do when your main villain, your main antagonist, and your main protagonist are on your flagship show, which is Raw. They're not going to go to SmackDown to fight and bicker and argue there. Bret Hart's not going to pick up the schedule of today's wrestler so he can promote WrestleMania. He's not going to do that, and we all know that.
Hasn't he been quoted as wanting to give the Hart Dynasty a rub?
I mean, hell, why even go through the trouble of sending Hart to Raw? We're building up to WrestleMania. There's crossovers between the brands all the time. The Hart Dynasty can just show up on on Raw. It's not that big of a deal.
Hold it. Mace was trying to ask a question right at the top of the segment here, and I want him to get that question in because I know exactly what he was alluding to. Mace, what was your question?
Did anybody actually watch SmackDown this week? Or this past week?
No, because it's a crap show.
Doug, shut up. Thank you.
Go on. Continue, Mace.
On SmackDown this week, they cut a promo saying that they were better than they are better than the original Hart Foundation. What better way for them to put them to go on Raw and get in Bret's face, thereby getting the rub from him? Hell, they could even take the titles off DX, put them on to the Hart Dynasty for hell. Do it for a month. Just find some way to put them on Raw so they can get that little push from Bret.
You're getting way ahead of yourselves. Way ahead of yourselves. First of all, Bret and the Hart family, the original Harts, having trained in the dungeon and gone through the hell that Stu would put them through, would tell the new Harts that they have to earn their breaks just like they did. Just like Bret and Jim the Anvil and Davey Boy Smith and all those guys had to earn. You have to earn your breaks. And look, would it not be beneficial to the Hart Foundation to get a rub from a real Hart? Sure. But you're not going to move your rosters around just so you can do that. Bret Hart being there is not to give the new Hart Foundation a rub. It's not to get them their break. It's to promote WrestleMania and Vince versus Bret and go up against Hogan.
At the same time, they move the rosters around all the time. Now, DX is the unified tag team title holders, and the Hart Dynasty called them out. Okay, so don't think that this is not going to be at the very least a minor rub happening, because you know
well,
what's going to.
It's
got to
happen with the history between the Hart Foundation and DX.
And it's also, you know, Jersey Girl in the chat room said it could also be Bret versus Sean again. Not Bret and Sean in the ring at the time, but it could be Bret's way of getting back at Sean.
Yeah. But with the Hart Foundation thing, now they've put the challenge out there that they've turned around and said, we are better than the best. What makes you think that they're not going to suddenly appear on Raw and try and get in Bret's face? You know, they can do that. There's nothing stopping them. Just because they're on the SmackDown roster doesn't mean they can't turn around on Raw. Well, hell, even a pay-per-view.
Spokes, shut the fuck up and let me finish. If you say you're better than the best at that point in time is the tag team champions, DX. It has nothing to do with fucking Bret Hart. Quit jerking off over yourselves thinking that the old Hart Foundation is going to give the new Hart Foundation a rub. Get that out of your thick fucking Australian skull. It has nothing to do with that. This is a feud between an up-and-coming tag team and an old tag.
Bates, you want to finish making your point?
No.
Anyway, I see it happening. I really do. And WWE moves the rosters around all the time. You can't say that they don't. And don't be surprised to see the Hart Dynasty, thanks to Natalya and her interference, wind up taking the belts off of DX, which will allow the Hart Dynasty to move freely between the rosters if they want to. Just like Jericho was able to do when they had the belts. All we can do is watch and see how it unfolds. We're allowed to speculate, and that's our speculation on this subject. On the next one, Will, I said I was going to go to you. You wanted to talk about Bret and Shawn.
Well, yeah, I mean, with Bret coming back, you know there's going to be the big Vince-Bret confrontation because of the Montreal Screwjob and that they're working towards a Vince-Bret match. But the other big question is, will there be any sort of confrontation between Bret and Shawn? Because if you remember when Bret got inducted to the Hall of Fame, originally he said something along the lines of, if I see Shawn, I'm gone. And, you know, you just wonder how that bad blood will affect any possible interaction.
No, if HBK and Bret Hart are on the same show, they're going to have to check bags for guns before the event.
And you're talking about the crowd, not the wrestlers.
Well, that brings up another.
Everybody.
That brings up another interesting issue. With Bret and Shawn being on the same show, how much security is going to have to be heightened because of it?
Here's the thing. I think it's been long enough, and I think Bret is professional enough that I'm like 99% convinced that we will see a moment between them. It might just be a stare down backstage that lasts for like 5 seconds. Before they part ways, just for how much it would fire up the crowd. I could see that, and I could see Bret being professional enough to give it at least enough. I don't think he would have signed a contract with the WWE, especially appearing on the Raw brand, without realizing that, yes, he would have to interact with Shawn Michaels again.
It's going to be pretty pretty hard to get around that. I mean, I can understand dressing rooms and opposite ends of every arena, but you can't be general manager, of, according to rumor, again, he can't be general manager of Raw and not have some kind of dealing with Shawn and Hunter.
Can I bring up something at this juncture?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I was just about to ask you.
There has been word going around for the last couple of months that Shawn has been wanting time off. This would be the perfect opportunity to give him the time off while at the same time keeping Bret happy.
All the way up till WrestleMania?
Yeah, especially leading up to a possible rematch for The Undertaker and holding the titles right now.
They can't do promos outside of arenas, a graveyard.
Rock
they don't
up,
have to always have him in the arena.
Rock brought up in our production chat that Shawn is taking time off after Mania. And Nick in the chat room goes, well, you do realize Theodore Long's on probation and Bret could be going to SmackDown. No.
Not a hope in hell. That's not going to happen.
It's a horrible business. It's a horrible business. Let's take your biggest draw and put him on your shit show.
That brings up a point. Pre-recorded segments?
Yeah, they show up on SmackDown anyway, shilling out DX merchandise.
Well, Vince, as much as we get onto his case, he's not stupid. He knows in signing Bret that something's going to have to be done about him and Shawn. I mean, who's to say that Vince isn't perhaps trying to act as a middleman to at least maybe get some sort of calm between the two of them, even if it's for one segment somewhere down the line? I mean, do you think Vince is really going to miss out on that chance?
Well, here's the thing. Shawn and Bret having to coexist in the same spot, it's like being in an argument with one of your best friends and then you have to go and make up with him, or being in an argument with somebody you hate and you have to go apologize and make up with him for it. Whether there is some sort of reconciliation or some sort of consolation between the two of the events of 97 or between the three of the events of 97 is the afterthought to the fact of Vince knew the risks when he signed Bret. He knew the risks a month ago or 3 years ago or whenever ago when he actively pursued Bret Hart to come back to WWE and put him in the Hall of Fame and try and get a match at WrestleMania between him and Bret. He knew the risks of having Shawn and Bret in the same building. So there's probably measures already put in place between the parties of don't talk to him, he won't talk to you, or whatever it is.
Well, I think that there are a lot of more machinations behind the scenes than we know. And I think that one of the telling things is Shawn Michaels having said that if and when he does get inducted into the Hall of Fame, he would like to be inducted by Bret Hart. Now, who's to say that they haven't been able to at least strike up a working relationship and agreed to bury some kind of a hatchet with some kind of upcoming sets and series of storylines on Raw between January 4th and WrestleMania. It's entirely possible. And as everybody who follows professional wrestling the way that we geeks do, you never say never in wrestling, especially when there's money to be made.
All right, Tim, you've
unless
heard
Martha the Hart's involved.
Yeah, you've heard the anger in Hart's voice, and the Hart family is one of the most bitter families is the way that they've been treated, and they've not been treated very fairly by the wrestling business.
Yeah, well,
they've added the most to it and not gotten the most in return.
Hold on a second. At the same time, don't believe all the press that you read, all right? You're speaking with somebody who happens to know the Hart family. And half of them couldn't care less.
You're telling me Brett could care less about 97 and Owen? You're telling me Martha could care less about Owen? You're telling me that the way
half
that they portrayed... They portrayed...
Half the family couldn't care less, is what I'm telling you.
Half okay. the family isn't Brett fit to hold Hornswoggle's jock in the ring, Tim.
Brett, say that again?
Half the Hart family isn't fit to hold Hornswoggle's jock in the ring.
Oh, I'm not saying anything about whether or not they're capable of doing that, and if they want to do that, that's their prerogative. Bret Hart has previously stated he wants nothing to do with WWE. Now, the majority of those claims came back when WWE was not doing the family-friendly thing that they are now, and that is one of the primary reasons why Bret has agreed to do something with WWE. This has been in the works for more than a couple of months. This has been in the works for years, a few of them. And this is also a topic that we can spend three shows talking about. It's very, it's a hot button volatile issue, and we could bring up a whole bunch of shit. And you and I can get into it. And I'm doing everything I can to make sure that that doesn't happen between the two of them.
Here's the thing, the point I was trying to make: the Hart family, and you can hear the bitterness in the main members of the family's voice when they talk about the way that. That Stu was treated by the WWE, the way Brett was treated, the way Owen was treated before and after his death. You can hear it. You can tell that they are angry about the way they were treated. And there is validity to it. But to sit there and think that there is some sort of working reconciliation between Sean and Brett, it isn't going to happen. It's not going to happen. We all know it. If there's one thing about there's one thing about that situation that we know it isn't a work, is Bret Hart's hatred for Shawn Michaels. And you saw everything that Shawn Michaels could do to kiss Bret Hart's ass in his book, in interviews, in shoot interviews, in DVDs of, oh, I want to be inducted into the Hall of Fame by Bret. Oh, I never knew anything about screwing over Bret. I would never have done that. He's a fucking liar.
Shawn Michaels is a hypocrite. The one thing he has not done that he has claimed that he has done is actually apologize to Bret. Shawn Michaels has come out on live television and says, how many times do I have to say I'm sorry? And every time I heard him say that, he stopped doing it now, but he used to do that regularly. Every time he came out to say how many times I have to say sorry, it would hit me in the back of the head. Well, you know, once would be enough. Try it. He hasn't.
Well, earlier in the year...
I fucked you over. I'm sorry. But that was what I was told to do. And he has not said that. And that's all that Bret ever wanted, was for Sean to fess up and quit being such a freaking hypocrite. Sorry to interrupt. Was that you, Will?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Early in the year, didn't Bret gave an interview where he said something to the effect that he really didn't have much issue with what had happened in 97 and that he would forgive Sean only if Sean apologized first?
Yeah, if only Sean would apologize, he'd forgive him. He'd say, okay, well then let's move on. That's exactly what my point is. Speaking of moving on, I think that it's time to get rid of this hot button topic until maybe next show, the best of 2009, next Sunday night right here on WTR Sunday Night. I think it's time we got into the finals of the great debate, the best Intercontinental Champion of all time. Here we go.
The bell has sounded for this week's great debate. From Bret Hart to Stone Cold Steve Austin, we are in search for the greatest intercontinental champion. Do you disagree with what we have to say? Then interact with us live on the WTR toll-free line.
I'm going to prove to you and everyone else that I am the greatest intercontinental champion of all the time.
Now, step into the ring with us as we determine who is the greatest intercontinental champion of all time.
And here it is, the great Intercontinental champion of all time. It's the finals. We've waited through, I think, what, 5 weeks worth of matchups already just to get down to the final two. And, of course, we've got tonight Mr. Perfect taking on the Honky Tonk Man. This might be interesting. Then again, it might not be. We're about to find out. And we're going to be starting off with the Thunder from Down Under. We're talking about our very own Mace. Who do you pick and why?
As usual, when we get down to the finals, this is an amazingly tough choice. Both men were definitely workhorses with the belt. Both of them brought very good credibility to the belt. Personally, for me, it's neck and neck, but I've got to go with somebody here. So I'm going to go with Mr. Perfect. But as I said, both of them are neck and neck when it comes to all abilities with the belt.
There it is. So we're one pinfall for Mr. Perfect taking on the Honky Tonk Man. Will, your turn.
I'm going to go with Mr. Perfect. Spug said it last week, I think it was, that, yeah, a Honky Tonk Man is synonymous with the IC title, but only for one reason, because he held it for so long. Perfect, on the other hand, you know, he helped with the legacy of that title. He's one of the great names when it comes to the IC title, even though his reign wasn't as long as the Honky Tonk Man's. But, you know, plenty of great matches.
Only 50 days short of it, Will. Only 50 days short of it.
Really? Well,
yeah,
I mean,
quite close.
Yeah, but still, you know, the bigger name easily is Mr. Perfect.
So, we've got two for Mr. Perfect and Omega. It's your turn.
My turn. Well, throughout this great debate, I have sung praises about Honky Tonk Man being synonymous with the belt, being the one name that you can't talk about the IC belt without mentioning his name, simply because of the landmark he set for it. That being said, there is such a thing as holding a belt too long, and for as great of a reign as that was, and for as historic as it was, it probably should not have held the belt for as long as he did. A year and a half is a long, long time to go as a champion. You'd get stale. And eventually you just don't take it off of him because you don't know what to do with it. On the other hand, Mr. Perfect brought so much to that belt between gimmick, his personality, and his wrestling ability. He did elevate that title. And he was just as much the workhorse that Honky Tonk Man, if not more so. And through all of the things that we've been going over in this tournament, between legacy, lengths of run, workhorse is the term that comes up the most, Mr. Perfect just exemplifies all of it. He is, from the beginning, the single best option that we've had in this tournament, and he should win.
Wow. Well, it's a done deal. Go ahead, Spud.
I don't have anything else to say. I don't have anything else to say, because I was going to vote for Mr. Perfect, and everybody else already said anything I could have said about him.
Okay, so there you go. My choice is the Honky Tonk.
Yes. Finally, we fucked Spud up. He can't say anything.
When did we find this out? Years ago.
Just agree. Just say what he's going to say so I can't say it. There you are. All right, so there it is, the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time, according to...
Whoa. We got your vote, but why are you picking Honky Tonk Man?
Because you're a dink.
No, seriously, what's your legitimate reason for picking Honky Tonk Man?
Because you all picked Mr. Perfect.
We've already determined that is not
a valid reason.
Yeah, you need a legitimate reason based on the individual you're voting for.
He had the great sideburns.
He's doing it because he's a Canadian prick.
Wow, I didn't know that at that time. Awesome.
Okay. Honky Tonk Man, like you said, Omega, synonymous with the belt. I mean, he did something right. If we're talking about Honky Tonk Man and the IC Championship title all of these years after he's had his run with WWF at the time and that IC title belt, to the point where even Santino Marella, when he was holding the title, had the honkometer. And Mr. Perfect, I didn't, you know, it just did not come across to me in my mind. This does not sit as the IC champion. Mr. Perfect comes across to me as somebody who should have been in the main event a hell of a lot more than he was. He is somebody that should have been holding that WWE title and not just the IC title. He carried Hulk Hogan to a really good match. Can you guys not forget the knockdown, drag out, tear him up that he and Bret Hart had? It is still, in my opinion, as far as I'm concerned, one of the best matches of all time in modern professional wrestling that I have ever seen. It's one of my personal favorites, right up there with Bret Hart and a couple of others.
Figured Bret Hart would be in one of his favorite matches of all time.
Oh, well, you can just shut up any old time. The reason why I didn't pick Mr. Perfect is because he should have been destined for better.
You can't not pick somebody because he should have been destined for... Rick Rude should have held the world title. But you know what? He didn't. Mr. Perfect held the Intercontinental belt for 406 days. Did more for that belt than Honky Tonk Man ever could have, even in his 456-day run. The only reason we talk about Honky Tonk Man so many years later is because of that run. We talk about Mr. Perfect so many years later, not because he held it for 406 days, but because he was a great wrestler.
Right, and we're not looking for the best wrestler of all time. We're looking for the greatest Intercontinental Championship of all time. Mr. Perfect has already won. He's the champion as far as Wrestle Talk Radio is concerned. However, I still reserve the right to pick the Honky Tonk Man because that is precisely why we remember him in WWF, was for the Intercontinental title. You wanted to know why I'm picking HTM? Now you know.
You make me sad, Sir Knight.
You can just hear Spoke seething in the background.
Good. You know, one of the... Of the qualifications to be named greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time, was work rate was one of them, but legacy of the belt was another. Mr. Perfect, with his gimmick, with his psychology, with Bobby the Brain, with holding the belt 406 days, did more for the belt than somebody who could have held it for a million days.
And at the same time, we got the opportunity to see Honky Tonk Man doing everything he could by hook or by crook not to drop that belt.
It did. Look, I get your reasons for wanting to pick. I get it. But, you know, some of it just smacks of you wanting to be contrarian and not, you know, realize who the better Intercontinental Champion was.
And I just get the feeling that you're being pissy because it wasn't a unanimous vote.
No, I'm being pissy because you're a fucking idiot.
Oh.
Well, that's your opinion. And, of course, you know what they say. It takes one to know one.
Well, at least they're getting the debate out of this.
There you go. So there it is. Great debate. Mr. Perfect reigns supreme. Everybody, make sure you check out the next round of the great debate. I can't remember off the top of my head what it was, but Randy in Texas has actually taken the trouble to go and line it up and decide what we're going to do. And we're gonna follow that. We might rejig the standings just a little bit. But we're more than happy to take your suggestions and give them serious consideration. If you've got an idea of what you would like to hear debated on The Great Debate, just tell us at admin@wildtalkradio.com or call the toll-free number. Doesn't cost you a single thin dime. We're picking up the tab, 888-357-9876. This time press option 4 and leave us a voicemail.
That being said, guys, I think it's time for rapid fire, don't you?
Yeah, why not?
Yay.
Good.
Let's do it.
Time now for WrestleTalk Radio Rapid Fire. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer tough, challenging, sometimes outrageous, and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Here we go. It's rapid fire for those of you, and I do believe we have a couple of new listeners tonight. So for those of you who don't know what rapid fire is here on Russell Talk Radio, really quickly, basically, it's the end of the show, and we just ask silly questions.
And it's a segment where we piss off Mace by asking him TNA questions.
Yeah, pretty much. We piss him off
by asking a non-TNA question.
Yeah, each host gets asked two questions, and they get like 60 seconds to answer just to find out what's going on with their thought processes and, you know, all that other wonderful bullshit. So, kicking off tonight, we are going to start with Mace. Your first question. I'm just deciding which one of these two I should ask. Okay, I'm going to ask this one. If you could give any wrestler a Christmas present, what would it be?
Like, if any wrestler a present, what would it be? I don't know. Based off his recent tweets, I'd definitely go, I'd give Samoa Joe a highlight reel of Pele kicks. Just because I want to be a torturous bastard sometimes.
John Cena, and I'd give him a bomb.
That would be the end of my answer, so let's get on the next one.
Good go. All right, Omega.
Mm-hmm.
If you, and I'm just getting fed these questions one at a time here, if you could kiss any diva under the mistletoe, who would it be?
Does it have to be a current one?
It says any diva.
Any diva.
We all know these answers later.
No, the mistletoe would catch fire. No. It's Trish Stratus. Duh. Brown hair or not.
Optimus Prime in a thong.
Natural hair color or blonde. It would be Trish Stratus. Okay. Just waiting for the next question to pop up. And this one's for Will. If you could get drunk with any wrestler, who would it be?
I'd say you could go for the obvious drunks. Or you could go for the ones that would look fun. You know what? Let's just go with Scott Hall. Cause
it would be obvious but fun at the same time?
Yeah, it would be.
Okay.
Oh, come on, Will. You should have gone seeing Punk or Raven.
I was actually thinking Raven, but I was like, wait, Raven's more known for drugs. Well, of course, Scott Hall's always fun. He's funny when he's not drunk. God knows he's probably out of his fucking mind when he is.
Jeez. I would have gone with Andre, because it'd take all night.
My other first thought, though, like, the first wrestler to pop in my head was the Sandman.
I'd have gone with Ric Flair. Haven't you heard the stories about him and Arn Anderson getting drunk? They're legendary.
Not Stone Cold, though. I don't want to beat women. And Jeff would lace it with pills, and I'd be in jail with him.
Ooh.
Same with Sam, man. That guy's an asshole.
I've interviewed. Yeah, you're right. Moving on, next question, and here it is. Spud, your turn. Who's the most underrated wrestler in WWE?
Most underrated wrestler?
Yeah, man.
In WWE.
Honestly, I'm going to have to say John Cena.
Oh, my God. Everybody cover your ears. Will.
I'm good.
Aunt Cena?
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Five Moves of Doom?
No, but he isn't. That's the thing. John Cena used to work for UPW and several other indie promotions, and I've seen video of him not in WWE. He really can wrestle. It's like the stories that came out of Japan, when Hogan would go to Japan, and Hogan would actually have to wrestle, and get shown that he couldn't. Cena can actually wrestle.
Hmm.
I just heard an explosion. I think Will's house just blew up.
No, no. If there's one thing I've always said about Cena, I respect the worker he is. And I've always acknowledged that Cena sucks so bad because of the way WWE handles him. When the guy first appeared on the scene, he was something else. What they do with him now, I'd like to throw into a wood chipper, but that's another story for next Sunday.
Exactly. His first days in WWE, you could see that he could wrestle.
His debut against Kurt Angle on SmackDown.
Perfect example
of what you're talking about.
John Cena can wrestle. So my vote goes to the most underrated wrestler in WWE is John Cena.
Okay. Might classify him as the most misused. But anyway, moving on. Next question. Here it comes now as it comes in. This one's from Mace. Which TNA wrestler would you like to invite over to watch a WWE pay-per-view?
God, that one's easy. Raven, because he picked the shit out of it with me.
I was almost expecting
he's a grumpy... No. Raven is a grumpy fuck that will go on for hours and hours and hours about how bad people are doing shit and what they should do. Plus the fact that I could get him drunk and he'd just be sitting there talking about how he gave the Dudley Boys and Stevie Richards and Blue Mini gifts. It'd be entertaining.
Well, it definitely would be, but I think maybe for a couple of slightly different reasons, although along the same line as what you're saying. Having interviewed Raven a few times, I can tell you right now, he is one smart fucker, and he's got a wicked sense of humor.
Oh, yeah.
He's done
tours down here, and the stories I've heard about him sitting backstage giving people advice, absolutely amazing.
He's just an absolutely incredible. I love talking with Raven. I could spend an entire I would love to sit down to watch pay per view with Raven and hit the Molson Canadian with him.
Your reasoning actually reminds me of an interview I saw with RVD where he was mentioning how he was sober on wrestling, and one night he came across like old UPW or something on or was it UF, something like that. It was on ESPN or whenever they were showing it late at night, and he saw the shittiest punch in the world, and while the commentators were trying to sell it, he was like, man, I'd have been calling that all differently. I would have been like, oh, did you see that shitty punch? Where'd he go to wrestling school?
Yeah. Plus, on the plus side with Raven, all you have to do is get a hold of guest booker with Raven, and he books 3 months of ECW under the fact that Hall and Nash joined the company instead of going to WCW.
I still need
and
to watch that.
It just shows
that.
You how smart that guy is. 8 months, Rock says. My apologies.
He's a freaking whip, man. I'll tell you, Raven.
Yeah, he booked it all the way up to their first pay-per-view in ECW.
He's definitely somebody that I would mind sitting down and catch pay-per-view with just to dissect with over a couple of rushing spots. That's a good one. That is a very good one. All right. Next question coming in is for Will. Will, which WWE wrestler would you like to invite over to watch a TNA pay-per-view game?
Son of a bitch.
Hey, don't blame me. I'm getting fed these questions, man.
Say John Cena.
I hope Cena would get hit by a bus on the way over.
Say Melina.
She wouldn't be watching the pay-per-view.
And wouldn't be watching the pay-per-view, but I got her for 3 hours.
There you go. Just pull the piece and you'll both come away smiling.
I'm actually, truth be told, thinking either Punk or Christian. just because both of them have worked in TNA, and it would be just, it would be fun just to see if they would just go on a spree about, oh, that was fucking terrible. Oh, I hate that place. Oh, he's a terrible worker.
Or if they would discuss and really shoot on the booking and the way.
Yeah, you know, they've been there. They know what it's like.
Okay, so Mace and Will both have their second question. So the next one, here it comes. Oh, okay, Spug. What wrestler would you be least surprised to find out likes to wear women's underwear?
If he says Mace, I'll die.
Actually, no. His name is Sean Blaze, and he wrestles in Northeast Ohio. He's a great guy. I love him to death. But I've seen some really weird pictures, and I've been in the locker room with him. So if he was wearing women's underwear, I wouldn't be too surprised.
Right. I guess we didn't have any kind of a specification yet via WWE or TNA.
You didn't. So there you go.
Okay. So what was the guy's name?
His name's Sean Blaze. But okay. All right. If you want a WWE specification, we'll go Goldust.
Oh, that's a little too obvious.
No, honestly,
I'd say Mark Henry.
No, he couldn't find a pair.
Oh, they'd be big granny panties.
He couldn't find a pair of panties big enough to play Bryant.
Oh, God. They like
need the big bra.
God.
Lane Bryant doesn't make panties big enough for Mark Henry.
God.
It'd
be like a rubber band around a brownie.
You know, honestly, with the way he dresses, I wouldn't be surprised if John Morrison wore women's panties.
That's who I would have thought as well.
With the glittery abs.
There you go.
Exactly. Fucking Metro.
So the last question, here comes the last question. Omega's last question of the night. What? Diva, oh, come on!
If it involves a diva, it's a default answer.
Yeah, it's a TNA diva or a knockout, and it doesn't involve just them. Just let me give me a sec to get it out here. Just, Rock, I can't believe that you're sending me these goddamn questions.
How come freaking Omega gets all the diva questions?
Oh, I don't know, because
I'm the goddamn Omega.
Yeah, he's the ladies' man of the show.
No, it's because he's a Transformers nerd that doesn't get laid as often.
Hey, I know how to work a toy. Let's just leave it at that.
Okay, too much information. Battery operated. Anyway, okay, I'm going to try to get through this one here. Which diva or knockout, I can't believe I'm asking this, which diva or knockout do you think Tim Stein would like to find under his tree in lingerie on Christmas morning?
Awesome.
May Young. May Young.
I was gonna say Moolah.
Come on, get serious.
Serious? I know you. I'd say Tara or Victoria or whatever you want to call her. I said Awesome Kong. I said Kong.
Awesome Kong. I don't think so.
She couldn't fit under the tree.
She's the tree.
She's wearing the tree. That's the lingerie.
You couldn't get her under the tree at Rockefeller Center.
Shit.
How about Bertha Faye?
No. I'll accept Tara. That's fine enough.
Oh, I know you'd accept her.
Kind of surprised none of you.
We need more questions like that.
I love how we have a very specific pattern. Mace gets TNA questions, Spug gets weird ass questions, Omega gets Diva's questions, and I get the questions that give me ways to kill John Cena.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, rapid fire for holy Christ, it's December the 20th. 5 days till the happy day, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Get your Christmas shopping. I actually started early. I got one gift already.
Oh, one by now.
I mean, I bought one already. I didn't receive. I'm not gonna.
We know what you meant.
Okay. Yeah, I never get Christmas presents from anybody. So.
Unless I buy myself a treat, which I probably wind up doing this year. I'm thinking about a car, but you never know.
And I hope I hope all of you at least say that it's Merry Christmas and not Happy Holidays.
We need to all chip in and get Tim a Victoria figure just to show up at his door on Christmas Day.
A Victoria figure?
Well, a blow-up one.
Oh, God, you're sick, buddy. Anyway, that's it. Last show before Christmas, everybody. Hope you enjoyed tonight's edition of WTR Sunday Night. Don't forget, a lot of the shows that we normally have won't be on this week because of the Christmas break. Some still will, however. So check out the website and keep coming back. Those of you who showed up for the first time ever, thank you very much. It was absolutely wonderful to have you show up. I've seen a couple of names in the chat room tonight that I've never seen before. So thanks for finding us and keep coming back. We hope we entertained you. Next week, it's the best of 2009, or the worst, the good, the bad, and the ugly, right here on Wrestle Talk Radio, on the Wild Talk Radio Network at our regular time, 10 o'clock Eastern. Make sure you catch the show. That being said, I'd like to say Merry Christmas and Happy Harmonica for our Jewish friends.
Harmonica?
Happy Harmonica.
Hanukkah.
Close
ended.
Enough.
Close enough. Yeah, I know Hanukkah ended 2 days ago, but guys, final thoughts.
Meh.
Fuck Bav, buy a t-shirt, let's get the hell out.
I'm going to be pissed if Cena wins this week. Oh, of course, he's going to win all the way to fucking WrestleMania.
Omega.
Oh, I still can't wait for the Royal Rumble edition of the show.
Yes.
Are you the only one that actually... I'm going to be steering the bus for that show. That's what scares me.
We are all going to be so hammered.
I've already got my DD.
Especially when John Cena wins the Rumble.
Those of you guys that I won't talk to later on this week, Merry Christmas to you. That being said, everybody, thanks for tuning in. Have yourselves a great Christmas week. Remember, it's not about what you get or what you give. It's about family. Have yourselves a great Christmas.
You've been listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, a Wild Talk Radio Network feature presentation produced by WTR Productions. For complete archives of this podcast, check out the official website of Wild Talk Radio Network located at wildtalkradio.com.